You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Fashion. Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir. Thanks to Recircle, serious secondhand shopping.
Kia ora Penny, how are you this morning?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What's been catching your eye in the world of fashion this week? What have you been thinking about?
Well, I thought we'd talk about trench coats because it's a bit cold.
It is a bit cold. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I guess, I don't know, I just wonder about things sometimes. And so I was thinking about trench coats. And it's kind of like quite an interesting one because, you know, it's used in popular culture and stuff. But also when you think about streakers and flashers, they always seem to be wearing trench coats.
I was going to say, I do actually have to say I associate the trench coat with detectives and flashers in my brain.
A terrible surprise on both ends.
It's kind of like just probably not a good, image in the morning. But anyway, so I thought then that they perhaps came from World War One, like wearing them in the trenches, because it was used in a trade tailoring journal in 1916. And for people who don't know, a trench coat has some specific kind of style things, which is it's double-breasted. It's usually tailored to the waist and flared to below the knee. The military ones had D-rings for hooking accessories, cape back allowed for water to drip off, storm flaps on the shoulders for ventilation, which I can't quite figure out what that is, but I keep thinking of a superhero.
Yeah, is that those, like, I thought of them as, when you think of a trench coat, they often have like a loop on the shoulder, which I thought was purely cosmetic, but maybe that actually used to be a vent and now it's just become a little strap. Or I might be completely wrong.
Well, they had epaulets on the shoulders.
Oh, that's actually probably exactly what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, epaulets are the ones that have like the button and
yes.
They used to show rank.
Okay,
and,
yes.
And like military people would put their gloves in there. Or,
this is why
know,
you're
whatever.
The expert, Penny.
Nah, not really. In the war, of course, it was issued in khaki, and it was a good alternative to the heavy serge greatcoats, which were worn by the French and English. But what's quite fascinating is that they were optional for the British Army, and they had to purchase them themselves, and only officer class could wear them, like no other rank underneath.
Yeah. Classic Britain.
Classic, yeah.
The comfortable practical jackets, only the poshos get to wear them, but they also do have to buy them because it shows how much money they've got.
Yeah, yeah, classic. Exactly. It's like, it's pretty crazy, eh? And they evolved from waterproof coats created by Scotch chemist and inventor Charles McIntosh and British inventor Thomas Hancock, who was the founder of the British rubber industry in the early 1820s. And I believe we talked about them before because of raincoats.
Yeah, so is he Macintosh of a Macintosh raincoat?
Yeah. So I was going to say the Mac is made from rubberized cotton and intended for well-dressed man whose days involved riding, shooting, fishing, outdoor activities, and military service.
Yeah, just posho things.
Yeah. And then in 1853, a guy called John Emery, who was a Mayfair tailor, kind of made some improvements for the raincoat under the name Aquascutum, which means water shield in Latin, and that company's still going. But of course, Thomas Burberry in 1856 followed under his company name Burberry. Uh-huh. And when I think of Burberry, I do think of trench coats.
Yeah, it's
because
true.
They just seem to be, you know, you think of the classic Burberry kind of plaid that's on the inside. They tend to be camel on the outside or tan. And I can't find why they're that colour. Like, I think it's because people imagine that camel and tan goes with anything.
I wonder if it comes from the war stuff. Like, those are sort of camo colours.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a relationship to that. We've had a text from a 2000s era goth, one of your peers perhaps, Penny, saying that they were the thing to own, but my minimum wage job couldn't afford one. Big black trench coat would be pretty sick at any time of the sort of fashion history. But yeah, it sucks when you've got your eye on that thing and also the op shops can't provide you with it. And you're like, I just want it so bad.
Yeah. 1879, Burberry invented gabardine fabric, and what they did is they weatherproofed the individual strands of cotton and wool rather than the finished textile, which I thought was pretty cool. Both Scutum, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, and Burberry claimed to have invented the trench, but in actual fact, they only just kind of improved it and popularized it.
Used it up a bit.
Classic.
Of course, both brands are expensive. The image of the dashing upper class valiantly aiding the war effort while wearing his trench coat helped promote the style. Although it was worn in World War II, it kind of lost its appeal because military attire went to kind of things like aviator jackets and, you know, parkas and things, which we've spoken of before. But then kind of in the 1940s, it was romanticised by Hollywood. If you think of, like, the slick gangster and the fast-talking journalist, the seductive femme fatale, Humphrey Bogart, Casablanca, of course, Audrey Hepburn,
what a movie.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Yeah.
So it's kind of had a bunch of different moments. It's interesting how a lot of that military fashion persists a little bit, like thinking about bomber jackets and aviator jackets, and all of that stuff comes in and out of the fashion cycle pretty regularly, maybe more so than other things. Those nice kind of classic. It is weird, though, sometimes when you think about, this is actually a piece of army gear that I'm wearing. Is a strange thing to think about sometimes. But the trench coat is such a, you know, I also associate the trench coat with, like, people like Alexa Chung being really of that, you know, Tumblr era of fashion it girls. Like, she was always in a glamorous trench coat and a plimsoll
cake, and short it's always skirt, like, long jacket.
Exactly.
Yeah. And always, like, tying the belt as opposed to doing the belt up, like, how it's supposed to be done up, you know?
Oh, yeah. Who would do that?
That sort of thing.
Only a nerd.
I think that they're really cool and really versatile, and of course, like, my fave would be a leather one. You know, I guess because of that goth aesthetic.
Was that what you were coveting?
Yeah, but then I'd probably look a little bit Matrix. I do have one that's kind of a little bit like that, and I've walked into my office and people have gone, ooh, the Matrix.
So you walk in slow motion backwards.
Yeah.
Kind of living in a dream world, Leo.
And, you know, floating behind. So, and I think I kind of feel like it is kind of back for our autumn winters.
It's practical. Well, it's practical for Auckland as well, because I think any actual coat with weight is not really that great in Auckland, because it's never quite cold enough and it's always raining. So you kind of need something that's lightweight. You can put something underneath it and is sort of water resistant ish. That's kind of when you're in the Auckland season, I feel. It's the coat for you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Penny, for bringing us trench coats this morning. I haven't really thought about them as a specific item before. It is very interesting to dive into that world. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you later on.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir. Thanks to Recircle, serious secondhand shopping.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.